School of Life, what is going on? We're back again, the School of Life podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Hearn, and also
Pastor Damon.
Yeah, and together we are the School of Life podcast.
Yes.
We're so excited to be back with you guys. We're so excited to be back recording live episodes. If you checked out last week's episode, it was the catch up. You know what I'm saying? We talked about some current events and everything like that. And this week, we endeavor to bring you this episode entitled Refueling.
Yes.
Refueling.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the importance of recharge and how to recharge, you know, and different things like that in different areas of your life. But before we go there, man, how you feeling today?
I'm feeling good, man.
You feeling good?
I'm feeling good. I'm feeling great.
Good.
Just life is good.
Yeah.
Things are good.
Yeah.
Gas prices high, but
hey,
I'm
they
good.
They up. Man, I got some gas. I filled up last Friday. Now, Grant, I'm back on E again. Like, I pulled up today, like, dog, I gotta go get some gas.
Yeah.
But I went, like, way to Great Lakes Crossing this weekend. I went way to the west side this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I filled up on Friday, and I got a Dodge Ram, and it cost me $82.
To fill up. I might have you beat.
Okay, you might.
It hit me about 100.
Oh,
about 100 to fill up, and that's
God.
You know, that's I'm driving Frankenstein out there.
Ooh,
you know, you can hear him coming down the street, but you know, it's all good. One of the things I try not to do is mm-hmm. let that stuff bother me too much.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we always got to make adjustments based on what's happening.
Yeah,
but you know, it's one of those things. You're just like, okay, that's the price of driving. So let me break out my bike when I don't got to drive.
Hey,
so.
Man, you know. And I always said that, like, whatever, like, I'm not walking mm-hmm. and I'm not catching the bus because
yeah.
I got to get to where I got to get at a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, whatever gas is, I'm just going to have to buy it.
That's
like,
it. That's
so
it.
I don't really stress out about it, but it just be like, when you notice it, like, because I think on average, when gas was like normal, so probably like 323 in that range,
mm-hmm.
it was probably costing me like 60 to 65 to fill up. You
yeah.
know what I mean? And so it's like, now the gas is almost $5. It's costing me $8. So, you know, it increased by $20 pretty much. So
yeah.
it's like, I got a big truck, you know, but gas had been down. So it wasn't an issue. And it's I'm not going to make it an issue now. It is what it is. All
it
I
is.
Can do is just move on from it.
That's it.
And right there, that's a life lesson.
It is.
Some things are just going to be out of our control.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you got a well in your backyard with oil coming out of it. You know what I'm saying? Unless you going overseas, tapping into Kuwait or, you know, Afghanistan, getting
yeah.
some oil. If you got a car and you got to get somewhere, you got to put gas in it. So stop fussing, stop worrying, mm-hmm. stop complaining, and just put some gas in it.
I mean, you know, that kind of matches our subject. We talking about refueling, right?
Yeah,
now.
We are.
Like, sometimes you got to realize, like, what's really driving you down.
Yeah.
What's draining you.
Yeah.
And then, you know, not to worry about that as much. And that's kind of easier said than done.
Yeah.
Right? Like, over the airwaves right now, I could be like, all right, don't worry about it.
Right.
But you really have to put it into practice, like the Bible says, is
mm-hmm.
to set your thoughts.
Yeah.
And set your emotions.
Yeah.
On God and on His peace. And,
yeah.
And that's pretty much one of the things. Sometimes you got to catch yourself and be like, all right, I'm tripping. Like, at first, I was tripping by the gas price. I ain't going to lie to you. I was like, fuck.
That's real.
You know, and usually I don't even like that. But
right.
me and my wife went out to refill her truck
uh-huh.
and I was like $4.49. Good God. Like that amazing. But then I had to catch myself like, all right, you know, thank God that you got the money to put some gas in your truck.
Yeah.
Thank God you ain't catching the bus. Thank you. You know, and sometimes
yeah.
you have to flip the narrative.
Yeah.
Like, what do I have going on good in my life?
Right.
Like, that's the narrative. Like, you got to say, okay, what do I have good? And I'm going to focus on that.
Yeah, that's a great point. And that's because when you think about it, some things in life, it's going to be out of your control.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You can't help. And it's like, you know, and I think we hear this oftentimes when people die. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When we lose loved ones, you know, we try to think about or we make ourselves believe that we could, like, even when my brother died, you know, I thought about, like, well, maybe I could have called him or maybe I could have went with him that
mm-hmm.
night. Or it's like, Justin, there was nothing you can do. You know what I mean? It's out of your control. It would have nothing you can do to prevent something. And it's like when you think about that, some things are out of our control.
They are.
And those things that are out of our control is that we have to learn how to let them go. Like,
mm-hmm.
just let it go because you can't. I mean, what can you do? What really can you do?
It's nothing you can do. You can't. Someone told me this before. They said you can't write every story, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's what we do. We go into these tangents, like, well, if I did this, or if I did that, or if I did this, or maybe I should have said this. And we have what I like to say, that by our self talk. You know, you're taking your shower in the morning before you go to work, and then you're replaying the whole conversation. I should have said this. I should have did that. But the truth is, the reality is, that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And where you're at, you have to deal with the cards you have in your hand.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, a lot of people would, you know, or I guess, you know, the flip side is that is like, you know, because I've been told before that, like, I never, how do they say? Like, I never let stuff digest. And it's like, no, it's not that I don't let stuff digest. Mm-hmm. It's just that I'm not about to major in something that I can't control. Because what fruit is, okay, if I sit here and worry about who didn't come through, why they didn't come through, or what happened or what didn't happen, mm-hmm. I'm going to turn myself into a circle and find myself dizzy because it's like, I don't have the answer.
That's right.
So it's like, I'm more so, it's not that I don't want to deal with stuff or that I suppress things. It's just, no, I just know personally that no good is going to come from it.
That's
so
right.
So I'd rather just go ahead and move on from it, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, instead of focusing on the negative, because truly what you focus on will become your reality, man. You know what I'm mm-hmm. saying? So I think it's important to have that and to be strong enough, You know, a lot of times that, you know, I think that's one thing that I pride myself on, how God made me, is because he made me strong to be able to move on from stuff.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, people are like, I need closure. I don't need closure.
I'm just going to move on.
I mean, it's like, you know, it's like, because it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing why and how and this, what is it? Is it going to change the circumstances that I'm facing?
That's right.
And if I feel like if it's not, then it's just no reason for me to know. It is what it is. I'll take that final step, that final thing, and I'll just go from there.
Yeah.
I'll just go from there. So what do you feel like is something in your life that you had to stop focusing on, that you had to give up, that you would say that was bringing you down, that wasn't adding good fuel, that was draining you, that you had to give up?
Oh, man, that's a good question. So I would say for me is that thing was lofty expectations of other people. Let me just kind of elaborate on that.
Okay.
Like, I have a certain way that I go and do things, right?
Okay.
Like, I'm hard in the paint. I've been like that. Like,
yeah, let's get it.
You know, I was hard in the paint. When I was playing basketball as a kid, we play outside on the blacktop.
Yep.
And they'd be like, man, you take a charge in the paint on rock, on cement, and all this. That's how I play.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much indicative of how I live my life, right?
Okay.
Like, I am tough. I go forward. Mm-hmm. You know, if I got to, you know, spend a little extra time doing something to get it right,
mm-hmm.
or if somebody called me and say, hey, man, can you do this?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I inconvenienced myself some to help them out.
Mm-hmm.
I was unfairly putting that on other people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, you know, somebody might be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do this. And then they might not come through the way I would come through.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might not be able to do the things that I'm able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Or even approach it the way I am able to approach it.
Yeah.
And I had that unfair weight that was on them.
Mm-hmm.
And I would get kind of upset about that. Because, like, I'd be like, oh, I was dependent on this person. And I kind of had to take a step back
mm-hmm.
and say, all right, maybe they're dealing with something.
Wow.
I had to have a little bit of grace.
Wow.
Right? Because even though I can deal with it, doesn't mean that they can deal with it. Even though I can do this, maybe they can't. Or maybe they have a situation in their life. And that was causing me some grief, some problems, some stress. And instead of getting angry about it, I learned how to kind of talk about it and be like, you know, or let it go.
Yeah.
And my wife tell me now, she'll say, you kind of forgiving. And I'm like, yeah, I forgive because mm-hmm. sometimes things happen, things pop up, and I'll give a person the ability to say, yeah, I couldn't do this, or yeah, sorry, I let you down,
mm-hmm.
and then not get mad about it. And that helped me to relieve a lot of stress from me
mm-hmm.
by not having those lofty expectations on people.
Wow, that's good. That was, I wish I had some snaps, like, you know what I'm saying? I stepped in there real quick or something like that. But I think that's so good. And I taught a message. I think that's in Retaliation. I think I taught a message on Retaliation. It's on there. So go. Did I upload Retaliation yet? I don't think I uploaded Retaliation yet. Yeah, I gotta upload that. But but anyway, one of the points in that message was dealing with capacity.
Okay.
And I think that sometimes, you know, as it relates to love, as it relates to friendships, I mean, as it relates to a lot, sometimes we get mad and fall out with people, and we'll say that person is no good. We'll say that person is not worth it, or we'll say this. And in all actuality, it's not that person's not a good person. Mm-hmm. It is that person doesn't have the capacity to meet the need that you have.
Wow.
And so I think a lot of times that we have to learn how to love people in their capacity. You know what I mean? And not expect something from. So it's like, dang, it's like, you know, well, it's like, you know, promise. And I use example because this is the most easy example. But if you a saved, good Christian woman, you know, born and believe in God and love God and stuff like that, and you want the God kind of love, you know, that's the kind of love you want. Well, it's going to be hard for any man to love you with that kind of love if they don't know God.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. If a person haven't accepted that love from Christ, then how are they going to love you? You know
what
I'm saying?
How do you expect that?
They don't even, they're not even open to that. And so a lot of times I think that, you know, we get frustrated with people and we'll ride them off and say they're terrible and say they're this and say they're that. And it's just like, they just don't have the, they don't have the capacity. You know what
Man,
I mean?
That's
and
good.
And even down to our parents, you know, it was like growing up, you know, I think sometimes fathers only know how to be a father that was to them. And that's just the truth, whatever.
That's right.
So like my dad was his dad was a provider. Mm-hmm. My dad was a provider. Mm-hmm. Me and my dad, I love him to death. And we never talked about sex. We never talked about, you know, in the birds and the bee. Even to this day, I'm 28 years old. I've never had a conversation with my dad about sex. Mm-hmm. Never. Not my first time, not my last time, not the first time I got married. I mean, none of that. We've never had that. And it's like, I've always desired that. Mm-hmm. I had that with my mom. You know what I mean? My mama talked about those things and stuff like that. But it's like, you know, at first it produced some resentment, you know, in me with my father. And then, you know, I guess I became of age and the Holy Spirit showed me is that you can't be something to somebody that nobody was ever to you.
That's right.
Unless you're aware of it. Mm-hmm. So in his mind, if I never said, hey, Dad, you know, I want to talk about these things.
There you go.
Wish I never expressed it. If I haven't did that, I can't be mad at him because in his mind, he probably doing everything that he know to do, and that's what?
That's right.
Be a provider.
Provide for
and
you.
So a lot of times we find ourselves mad at people and frustrated people, and it's a matter of capacity. And so I said that to say is that I had to learn that in my friendships and my relationships because I've understand that God has blessed me. You know what I mean? And you know, I've been my dad. One thing my dad showed me, he told me all the time, if a man don't work, he don't eat. You know what I mean?
Agree that was with that.
You know, my dad didn't go to church at that time, but he knew that scripture.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? He instilled that into me. So you know, I've always been a hard worker. I've always been a go getter. And because of that, you know, I've always been established, I'll say, whatever. And then, you know, I would have friends who were like, well, dang, if I ain't got it, I ain't got nobody I can call, you know, to get it from, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you will find yourself, you know, like, oh, well, you ain't my dog. I thought we was dogs. And it's like, no, that's your dog. They just don't have the capacity that you have. Mm-hmm. And so it was like, when I learned that, it was like, wow. Like, sometimes it's not that they can't, it's not that they don't want to. Mm-hmm. It's a matter of capacity. You know what I mean?
That's good, man. That's good. As soon as you start thinking about that, I'm like, okay, the expectations based on what you're dealing with or who you're dealing with is different.
Yeah.
As soon as you said capacity, I began to think of the different loads a vehicle can take.
Yeah.
Like a bus can hold more people.
Yes, sir.
Than, you know what I'm saying, a compact vehicle.
Yeah.
And you have certain expectations based on the capacity of those vehicles, what they can do, where they can go, who can go with you.
Right.
And sometimes, you know, we do have those expectations on people that are just so lofty.
And it's like, yeah, and it's just so good. And this another point that it just came to me is that God has made us, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And especially talking about you, talking about me, talking about people that are called and that are chosen. He's given us a 77 passenger van.
That's
you know
it.
What I mean? A bus. You know what I mean? So the things that we can take in the room that we have for people, you know what I mean? It's like you just not going to find that everywhere. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to find it everywhere. And so it's up to us to always look to God,
yes,
and not look to man.
That's it.
You know, like I just this scripture came to mind, whatever, and it says something about, and I don't know where it is, but it says something about, like, you know, make no promise. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, you can't, only God can be sure of anything. I can tell, I can say, Damien, let me hold $20 right now, and I can have all intentions on paying you back.
Yep.
But if my wife called me tomorrow and say, honey, I need $20, what you think I'm going to do?
Wife going to get it.
I'm going to tell you, bro, man, I'm sorry.
Hold on.
Hey, I need you to hold on to that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Just being real. So I think that... that, you know, just I don't even know where I was going with that, but the responsibility is what I'm trying to say.
It's all good.
Is just great on us who God has given capacity to. So I just want to encourage somebody is that God has strategically placed you where you are, even around the people that you are in, you are around, and your capacity is just bigger with that. So don't look to people. Don't look for people to pay you back. Don't look for anything. Look for God. Because even the Bible says that when you lend to the poor, you lend to me. You do unto the Lord. And whatever is right, the Lord said he would pay. Now, I'm not telling you to be no fool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, you know, I've come to realize is that sometimes when you try to help grown people, you're actually hurting them.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you don't need $30, $40. That's not what you need. You need a job, okay?
That's it.
A job. That's what you need. You need to go find a job. You know what I mean? And it's like, yeah, like you just can't help everybody,
and sometimes,
man.
Sometimes that, you know, sometimes that help comes with instruction.
Yeah.
Right. I had to tell someone, this is a few months ago. They asked me to perform a duty for them.
Okay.
And I said, I'll perform the duty, no the problem. I said, but in order for this not to happen, you know, you need to do A, B, and C going forward.
Yep.
That way you don't get yourself in this situation again.
Yep.
And they began to say, well, I don't want to hear all that. I said, the price of my help is also the price of my guidance.
Yep.
And they said, okay, I got you. And sometimes that's what we have to be. Like, you know, sometimes we want to help people.
Yeah.
And then we don't tell them, hey, this is what you need to do going forward.
Yeah.
You know, of course you do it in love. You do it in kindness and humility. Thinking about yourself first. Like, all right, how would I want somebody to tell me? But if we don't do that from time to time, then it becomes a cyclical thing. They start coming back over and over again. And then instead of Jesus being Jesus, guess what? Justin Jesus.
Yep.
Damon Jesus.
Yep.
And we can't take Jesus' job. Like, we got to tell him, like, look, you, like, yes, I'm going to help you. I love you. I care about you.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, we're talking about refueling, right?
Right.
Sometimes that's what drains you.
Yeah.
You know, you got the same person coming back to you again and again and again, and you are never being refueled. You're never being revitalized. Then at some point, you're going to break.
Yeah.
And you may say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing or, you know what I'm saying? So that kind of gets that before it gets to you.
Yeah, and I think that something just came to mind. I guess I'm preaching to myself when I say this, but we got to understand is that there's only one savior of this world, and that's Jesus.
That's it.
There's only one savior. And I think a lot of times in efforts to not let people down, in efforts to be everything to everybody, sometimes we neglect ourselves.
Yeah.
And it's like our fuel would be good if we wasn't burning it in places that didn't really require us to be burning it in. And I'm preaching to myself.
I'm with you.
Because, you know, in this season, man, you know, I've really taken on a lot. Like, so I was coaching high school basketball already. And then my niece school, I'm cool with the athletic director over there. So she called me like, you know, we don't got no coach. The kids ain't going to have no school. You know what I mean? Whatever. And I'm just like, ah, man. You know, I was like, all right, I'll do it. And it's like knowing that I'm still in school full time. I still got a family.
Wow.
I'm already coaching basketball.
That's right.
I got to work.
You got
still.
Ministry.
You got all this stuff going on. Man. And it's like I did it. And the other day, I told my wife, she said, how you feeling? I said, I'm tired. I said, Thursday, I'm canceling practice. We ain't having no practice because I'm tired. And then, you know, I was like, man, I can't wait till this is over. Like, I'm looking towards the end of the season because, like, I love the kids. So, I be a mentor for the kids. But it's like, I'm tired.
Yep.
And I'm tired not because I'm tired. It's because of me. It's because of my own doing. Like, I don't have to coach basketball at all right now. Yep. Like, I honestly should just not, like, it'd be best for me not to do it. Mm-hmm. Just so that's because that's just time away from the family. That's just extra time. It's just, it's putting more, now I'm dealing with, you know, students and their bad behaviors and mm-hmm. their grades and not being able to play. I mean, it's like, and it's like, I did this to myself, that's you know? It. And so, you know, I challenge anybody out there, reevaluate what you're doing and why you're doing it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I had the right heart in like, oh, well, if I don't do it, they're not going to have a coach. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? But it's like, you know, my wife needs me. You know, yeah. my children, you know, need me. Mm-hmm. I need me. You That's know what it. I mean? School needs me because I got to finish. You know what I'm That's saying?
It. We need you here.
Right. You know what I'm saying? It. It's like, cool. So I think that sometimes we can kind of put the cart before the horse and just jump at, you know, opportunities and jump at opportunities to serve. And it's like, you don't have to take everyone. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? You can say no. You can say, you know, I'll wait. Or you can say, you know, I'll do it next time. And there's nothing wrong with that. And like I said, I'm preaching to myself about myself because I'm guilty. I'm so guilty of that.
But you know what? You're not the only one, right? Mm-hmm. I think we live in a culture right now where mm-hmm. we're all... And I'm not going to say stressed out. Mm-hmm. I want everyone to understand. I'm not saying stressed out. Mm-hmm. Stretched out. Mm. You're pulled in a lot of different directions.
Yeah.
And one of the things that, you know, my pastor, my former pastor, may God bless him, mm-hmm. he really taught and instilled in me mm-hmm. is the importance of rest.
Okay.
So that was my trial sermon almost 20 years ago. Mm. It was one of our conversations we sat down and had, mm-hmm. and he said, son, he said, make sure that mm-hmm. after you preach, after you go and you do a great ministerial work or whatever, mm-hmm. that you take the time afterwards to mm-hmm. sit down somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm in my 20s. I'm like, man, I could preach the whole city
in a week.
But he said, no, as you get older, mm-hmm. he says, you're going to realize the importance of that because ministry comes with weight.
Yeah.
You have to, you know, be connected with people. You have to go visit the sick. You got to go to the hospitals and all this. And he said, if you build a habit of rest and revitalization in your life right now, mm-hmm. he was like, your soul is going, he said, it's going to pay back in dividends.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I had to get back to.
Okay.
Because when I first started pastoring, I was like, okay, do this, mm-hmm. do this. Because I'm, you know, I'm pastoring. I'm leading a group of people at work. Mm-hmm. You know, I got all these things outside of work, extracurricular activities. Mm-hmm. And finally, I had to say, no, I need to get back to resting.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if God can rest after making the world after 6 days, then who am I?
Who exactly?
I need to find some time to add rest into my schedule.
I think that's good.
And that's what we have to do because all of us, we live a 24/7 life right mm-hmm. now. We're posting, we're doing podcasts, we're working, we're ministry, we're ministers, we're pastors, we're servants, we're parents, we're husbands and wives and all this. And we really just need some time to just breathe and say, all right, let me connect back with God.
Yeah, so refueling. There you go. Point number one, like, hey, take some time to rest.
That's it.
Rest. Like, you know, just really rest. Just really take time for you, rather. And it, when you think about, you know, the busyness of a month, like even at least out of a whole 30 days, like, can you just take two for you? Mm-hmm. I mean, you know what I mean? And realistically, you should honestly take at least one a week for you.
Yeah, we should.
You know, we should. But at least two, like, just take a day and rest. Like, and just say, hey, you know, I'm not doing nothing today. Mm-hmm. I'm not answering no phones. I'm not doing nothing. I'm just going to listen to myself. I think that's so important just to be still.
Yeah.
You know, I love, I like car rides, mm-hmm. you know, not more than 4 hours, but I enjoy car rides. I basically enjoy any time when I can escape to my thoughts, when I'm not thinking about like, when I get done with this, I got to go read the kids a book to put them to bed. And then I got to go talk to my wife. Like, you know, when I can really just be away and just think about random stuff. Like, I really like that. And even in that time, I find myself praying in that time a lot of times. But you have to find a time to rest. Take a break for you. What do you enjoy doing? You know, do you want to go get a manicure? Do you want to go get a pedicure? Do you want to go get a massage? Do you just want to read your favorite book or watch your favorite show? Like, take a day of rest for yourself.
And you know what? That brings me, I guess I would say a second point.
Okay, let's go.
know what gives you life.
That's good.
You know what I'm saying? You said it right on the head. You said, I like to ride in the car. Mm-hmm. I like to get in a place where I can just think. You know, that's part of this whole human life experience, yeah. If I could say.
Yeah.
Is really knowing what helps you. Like, me, I love to read.
Okay.
Like, I literally love to read, and I have a stack of books on my nightstand right now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it takes me forever to do it, right? It takes me forever to get through them. But every night, every night, I don't miss a night. Every night, I take 15 minutes to read.
Okay.
And that's me, and that settles me, and that helps calm me down.
Yeah.
Even Jesus, he knew when it was time for him to go pray.
Mm.
He knew. He'd be like, all right, we about to go do ministry.
Yeah.
I'm about to go in the mountains and pray.
Yeah.
Now, okay, you might not go into the mountains and pray.
Right.
But what do you do to connect back with God? Connect back with yourself, to bring life to yourself. Maybe, like you said, it's a massage.
Yeah.
Maybe it's having a spa day. I don't know what it is, right? But it's something that connects you with who God made you to be.
Yeah.
And it brings life back. It just makes you smile.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because I think that there's a... So I think that... It's almost like 5-hour energy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've never tried them or anything like that, but I used to work with people, you know, who would be like, oh, man, I'm tired. I'm going to give me a 5-hour energy, and I'm going to bust out the rest of this shift and everything like that. And it's like, you know, that 5-hour energy, you may drink it. You may put it in your body. It may give you that 5 hours of energy, but then a crash is coming with that.
Yep.
And so I think that as we're refueling, you know, as we want to refuel, we have to be sure that the things that are the outlets that we're using to refill is actually good for us.
Yeah.
It's not only fun for us, or it doesn't always just take our mind. Like, you know, I can say I need to refill, and I can say, you know what? I'm going to the club, and we just gonna go drink. We just gonna go, and it's like, okay, you know, I might have took time, I might have relaxed, I might have let my hair down, but it's like being fooled and consumed with alcohol and putting poison on my body and drunk. What good did that really do for me?
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Is that really a refueling?
Yep.
And I think that. When I look at my generation today, I think that we're calling things refueling that's not actually refueling. It may be depositing some type of experience, some type of short-lived thing for an excitement, but we're not truly refueling. And I think about, like, you know, an airplane. You know, when an airplane, and, you know, even if a plane flew from, you know, New York to Detroit, and it only has to go from Detroit to Chicago. Now, I would think in my mind that an airplane has enough fuel to go from New York to Detroit, from Detroit to Chicago, because those are not, you know, maybe an hour and a half to, you know, to Detroit, maybe another hour and a half. So we're talking about a 4-hour flight, and we know flights go longer than that off fuel. But the interesting thing is when that airplane lands and those people gets off, they go through the whole safety check.
That's right.
They don't say, "Oh, we just going to Chicago. We ain't going that far."
No.
They check. They recheck everything. They clean the plane and they refuel it.
Yes, man. Look.
They refuel it, even though there's already enough fuel to get from Detroit to Chicago. They still top it off because they don't know what's gonna happen. They don't know what the weather is gonna bring. They don't know where they might have to land.
Yeah.
They still refuel. And so if we could, take that and put it in our lives and say, you know, I know that you only doing this, or you only doing that, or you only go so far, but no, take time to refuel.
Ooh.
Because you don't know what the journey, you don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. You don't.
Oh, man, that is good. That is good. But how many times don't we do that, right?
Yeah.
Like, we go through these good times. All right, everything good. And we ain't talked to God in forever.
Right.
We ain't talked to him forever. We ain't reevaluated the plan. We ain't looked at, you know, the small things.
Yep.
And then the next thing you know, that storm come up, and you be like, all right, nah, I got to land somewhere I don't want to land.
Yep.
Because I ain't been refueled to get through this storm.
Yep.
That is good, man.
Man.
That'll preach.
Yeah, that's good.
That'll preach. But I think you're absolutely right. Like, you know, and I won't just say it's this generation.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost every generation, right? Like, we fill our life with stuff.
Stuff.
And one of the good things, and if I could just kind of clarify what I was talking about earlier, a little bit, is that when you're refueling in this way, mm-hmm. it's really giving you a better focus.
Yeah.
It's giving you better eyesight to see where you're going. Like, it makes no sense if I go out there and I refuel my truck right now, mm-hmm. right? And I go everywhere all around town mm-hmm. and never really go to my destination, mm-hmm. then I've just wasted that refuel.
Wow.
Right? So what refueling really does, it should sharpen your senses, sharpen your awareness, that's sharpen good. Where you're going. When Jesus came out of prayer, Jesus ain't say, all right, come on, let's go make something to eat. He said, no, I got to be about my Father's business. Yeah. Let's get it done.
He knew exactly where he was going.
That was it. And sometimes that's what we need. We need to take that time and say, all right, God. Mm-hmm. Like with me, I had this moment. Let me just have a transparent moment.
Yeah, go ahead.
Like, I had a moment not too long ago mm-hmm. where I was just like, all right, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's mm-hmm. going on. Am I doing the wrong thing? Am I doing the right thing? Mm-hmm. Am I, you know, do I have it right? Is this really my calling? Is mm-hmm. this not my calling? It mm-hmm. was one of those. And mm-hmm. we all have those.
Yeah, for sure.
And I had to kind of step back for a minute and say, mm-hmm. all right, what am I doing? Talk mm-hmm. to God. When I came out of that, and see, God is amazing because he allowed people to come into my life mm-hmm. or at least talk to me and say, thank you for doing this or thank you for doing that.
And,
and it gave me another perspective because I was really measuring myself on what I was seeing other people do.
Yep.
I was measuring myself on expectations, like you said, capacity, mm-hmm. the capacity that other people had that I didn't have. Mm-hmm. And what I did not realize is I was doing what I was supposed to do the whole time. Yep. And God had to send people my way mm-hmm. to tell me thank you or to point out the good things that I was doing. I was like, man, had I not sat back, though, and taken that time, mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been focused.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what you got to do. You step away and let God talk.
Yeah, I think that was so keen as in being transparent. That happened to me about a month ago. It would have been probably around the time, it probably been like a month ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's why you have to be really careful with social media, man, mm-hmm. because social media shows highlights, it shows glitz and glamour. But it don't show the real. It doesn't show the struggle. It doesn't mm-hmm. show the process. It doesn't show any of those things. And so it's easy to try to measure yourself up. Mm-hmm. And so, hey, let me drop this real quick. So if you need to refuel, you try to refuel, you have to check your comparisons. You know, make sure that you're not comparing yourself to people. And this is why. It's because you could look at somebody who's on third base. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't hit to get on third base. The person who was on third base that hit it, you know, they got injured and they couldn't run no more. Mm-hmm. So what they do is they send a runner. They say, OK, you know what? You come sit down. You on third base. Now you come into the game. You say, oh, man, how you on third base? It's hard. I can't even hit. And you don't even know that this person never even swung a bat.
That's it.
To get on third base. Got put into the game on third base. Yep. And you will be sitting there trying to compare yourself. You'll be sitting there saying like, oh, man, maybe I'm not called. Maybe I don't got mm-hmm. it. Maybe I should rethink this thing.
Man,
and it's not because that you're not good, not because that you're not called. It's just that you're looking at somebody who's already on third base.
That's it.
And you're trying to measure yourself up to that. And so I think that's why for me, I was like, you know what? I had to get back into like, okay, it was like, well, why am I doing this?
That's it.
Like, am I doing this for amens? Mm-hmm. Am I doing this for views? Am I doing this for notoriety? Mm-hmm. Or am I just doing this because this is what I feel like the Lord told me to do?
That's it.
You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I just want to please God. And then, like, getting back to that, I was like, okay, cool. Because I'm telling you, I was like, man, I'm getting tired. Like, you know what I'm saying? I was just getting tired. Like, this is like, you know, I'm like, where did this thing end? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And God had to refresh me. In other words, I was dependent on the wrong type of fuel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was looking for the wrong fuel. You know, I was looking for acceptance. I was looking for, you know, all these wrong things. And it's like, and when you look for them, when you're looking for those things and you're trying to get refilled on those things, mm-hmm. it's going to deprive you.
That's
because
it.
God is not going to let you get refilled on that.
He not.
He not. Because if he do, you're going to lose your mind. You're going to. You gonna lose your mind and be out here crazy like Saw or something, you know, doing crazy stuff.
And that's why people do crazy stuff on video. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like we can laugh about it, yeah. right? But over the last 2 years, uh-huh. you see all these people on social media trying mm-hmm. to do things to increase views for their church, yep. just acting a fool. Yeah. And you be like, look, man, be yourself.
Be yourself.
Be yourself. Yep. You don't gotta get out there and just be like everybody else. Yep. Be yourself.
Be yourself.
And let God love you.
Yeah, man.
That's it.
That's good. And that's a dangerous place to be in. That's mm-hmm. a dangerous place to be in because, you know, when you out front like that and you're looking for the next big thing, the pressure of trying to please people or yeah. to get a million views, it'll start having you doing some crazy stuff.
And it makes no sense because you can just, God made all of us different.
Yep.
Right, he put us all in different situations and different places. And I love what David said in mm-hmm. Psalms, right? I always think about that because that's whenever I feel, mm-hmm. I'm just going to be honest with you, I know myself a little bit. Mm-hmm. Whenever I feel down like that,
okay,
I go to Psalms 23. Because when David started talking about he restoreth my soul, he lead me beside the still water, mm-hmm. that's guidance. Mm-hmm. And when I feel down or I feel less than mm-hmm. or I feel depleted, I need God's guidance to restore me and put me in a place of restoration. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's where we're not at. We're not at that place, whether it's mentally or physically mm-hmm. or socially. Sometimes you're around the wrong people or wrong stuff. And mm-hmm. God is really saying, let me guide you
yeah.
to the right place. And sometimes we'll stay. Let me just put it like this. Mm-hmm. Let me just be real.
Yeah.
We'll stay in bad relationships.
Mm-hmm.
This stressing us out.
Yep.
This making you think about taking your life mm-hmm. and all this other mess. And God is saying, I tried to give you an out. I'm trying to give you an out. We'll stay in churches just dying. Mm-hmm. No, when we walk in, mm-hmm. we not getting no word.
Yep.
We leave out and come in the same exact way.
Yep.
And everybody keeps saying, why don't you come to my church? This is that. Maybe God is trying to direct you and mm-hmm. lead you. And you keep beating yourself up over and over again. Why are you doing this? When God you're not saved by having your name at a certain church. I don't know who we talking to right now, right? Like, you're not saved by having your name at a certain church,
right?
Right. If you're going to the same church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and you ain't growing,
right?
And you just feel whatever, then maybe you need to go somewhere where you get refilled.
Where you get refilled.
Where you really know God.
Yeah.
Not just there because your grandmama and your mama and your aunties and them went there. No, go somewhere where God is talking to you.
Yes. I think that's good, man. So, in refueling, you know, we've said rest, right?
Rest.
You got to have some rest, right? Mm-hmm. Then you got to pay attention to what's fueling you and making sure that you're getting the proper fuel for the proper journey that you're called to. And then we just said, you know, pay attention to what's not feeding you. That's you know right. what I mean? Mm-hmm. What's not adding, you know, adding value to you. Pay attention to the things that's draining you.
Yes.
You know what I mean? That's just really draining you. Now I think it'd be a good place to talk about how to get fuel, you know, how to get that right fuel in us, and not only how to get fuel, but how to stay fuel,
yes.
and how to stay ready. Mm-hmm. I think it'd be good to transition there. And I just, I think I'll start by saying that at some point in time, I don't care who you are, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't care how anointed you are, how smart you are, there is a point where you run out of fuel.
Yes.
Even Jesus himself mm-hmm. Found himself crying. You know, the Bible says that his tears were beating the ground like rocks, you know, mm-hmm. and he even said, Father, take this cup from me. Take yes. this cup from me. He's out of fuel.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't, at that moment, in that place of time, he didn't have enough.
Yes.
He was out. Mm-hmm. He was out. But something interesting, he says, as he says, nevertheless, Father, you know, your will be done.
That's it.
And so what do you make of that? What do you make of that? In the Bible, in that story, and Jesus, you know, showing us that he's so human to the point that he feels the burden of having to go to the cross to die for our sins.
So it's a lot in there, right? Because I probably preached that a bunch of times, but one of the first things I will always say, it's a couple things in there. First mm-hmm. thing I will always say, he was honest with God.
Mm.
That is a number one thing because we wear all of these masks and these capes, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm one way with the fellas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm another way with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I'm another way with my coworkers.
Yep.
I'm another way with my wife. When do I have time to be honest
that's good.
And let those weights out and say, God, I'm hurting?
Yeah.
God, I'm hurting and I need help.
Yeah.
God, and then not only this, but God understands. Not only was he honest about hurting, but mm-hmm. he said, I really don't feel like doing this.
Mm.
I really, if it's another way, God, if mm-hmm. it's another way, please. And then, you know, not only that, you know, when you look at that, he had to disconnect from everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the thing that makes us afraid.
Mm.
We don't want to disconnect. It's almost like we feel like we're missing something.
Mm-hmm.
We like that kid. You know how you, yeah. you know, go to bed, Damon. Uh-huh. Go to bed. It's your bedtime. It's 9 o'clock. You mm-hmm. got to have a long day tomorrow. Okay. And then you just stand up. You stand mm-hmm. up because you think you're going to miss something. Mm-hmm. And then the next day you wake up tired.
Tired.
Why? Why'd you wake up tired? Because yep. you did not heed the instructions.
Yeah.
And sometimes, we need to disconnect. And that's what Jesus did. He disconnected.
Mm-hmm.
He was honest with God. He took some people with him. Mm-hmm. He knew they couldn't, you know, he mm-hmm. knew they, he wanted them there, but they couldn't do what he did.
Right.
And then the Bible says there, and we, a lot of times we overlook this part.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible said, then the angels ministered to Jesus.
Mm.
Look at that. Mm-hmm. Right. Like Jesus is mm-hmm. Jesus. He got a job. He got a task, mm-hmm. but he still needs to be ministered to.
Mm.
And sometimes we the pastor.
Yep.
We the AP.
Yep.
We the evangelist.
Yep.
We the bishop.
Yep.
When was the last time you was ministered to?
Mm.
When was the last time somebody ministered to you? God sent somebody to just bless your heart.
Yeah.
And that's what you need to do. You need a time when you're not always boss. You're not mama.
Yeah.
You're not pastor. You're not daddy. Sometimes you just need to be a child and be ministered to.
That's so rich.
God help me.
That's so rich, man. That hey, clap. I wish I had some claps right there. I throw some claps here.
God is good.
God is good.
It ain't me. It's him.
Yeah, I think that's so important. And I think that a lot of times too is that we have this thing where we think that we have to be so tough that that we can't show weakness. That we can't be like, yo, I'm not feeling it today.
Yep.
Like, you know, yo, I'm not up for it today.
Mm-hmm.
And we think that that makes us less of a man. Or we think that, you know, because, I mean, you know, Detroit is a very unique place. So people who are born and raised in Detroit, we all have this grit about us. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we do.
We all have this grit, this go-getter, you know, this mentality, this hard-nosed, blue-collar.
That what up, though?
What up? Like, that's who we are. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's in our nature because that's in our culture. And to survive in our culture, we had to adapt that as part of our lives.
That's
you know
right.
what I mean? And so it's like, and in one way it's good, you know, it's a time to go get it. It's a time to be tough. It's mm-hmm. a time to be, you know, blue collar, get the job done, you know, be the first one to show up, the last one to leave.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a time to say, hey, I need help.
That's
I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. You know what? And I think that that's what we have to do a better job at.
Yes.
Is that, like you talked about, you know, in Jesus' case, he was honest and said, like, yo, like, I ain't feeling this. You know what I mean? Like, I ain't trying to do this. And it's like, you know, and we got people in our camp. You know what I mean? If we said, come over, have a party, we have 100 people show up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But we won't lean on those same people because we think we're weak. We think they'll think we weak.
Wow.
Or we'll think that that our spots can be taken or you know what I'm saying? Or we mm-hmm. built this up or we want to put on this image that, you know, that we got it. And I think that that's something that I've been so mindful of myself is not, because I have the mentality, I have that hard nosed mentality, mm-hmm. but it's just like, if I ain't got it, I ain't got it. If I need help, I need help.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And just not being afraid to, you know, to get help. So we have to change our mindset and to think that we have to be a one man show, a one man band. Mm-hmm. And it's like, bro, you don't.
No, you don't.
You don't. And you're never going to get refueled if you have that mindset.
Mm-hmm.
If you keep thinking that you gotta be the one to come through. If you not, and I'm not saying that people won't let you down, because people will let you down.
Yeah, they will.
People, and about capacity,
it
right?
It happens.
But just because people, you know, let you down or people can't come through for you the way that you need them to, that should never stop you from asking for help if you need it.
Yes,
because you just never know.
Mm-hmm.
So we gotta just lay down that mentality that we gotta be the best, and we gotta lay down that mentality that that asking for help makes us weak.
Yeah.
Asking for help makes us strong, makes you strong.
That's it.
You know what I mean? It makes us better because we are not blind to our weaknesses.
That's it.
And I say all to say is that just this past weekend, last Saturday, I believe, a lot of my I'm a basketball coach. I coach middle school basketball and high school basketball. But this is my middle school team. A lot of players got suspended,
mm-hmm.
and I was down to 6 players. So I only got one sub. You know, only got one sub.
Wow.
And, you know, I had a guy on my team. He played center or whatever. And we ended up losing this game by 2 points. But towards the end of the game, the ball, it was a rebound. It bounced right in front of my guy, like literally right in front of his face.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, he didn't see the ball. He kept running. It's a loose ball.
Oh.
He kept running. He didn't see it. But I don't know how he didn't see it. Well, I know how he didn't see it. He didn't see it. The other team was able to get the ball, and because of it, they scored, and that the game would have went to overtime.
Mm-hmm.
But and I said, you know, I'm yelling, get the ball, get the ball, get the ball. And it's like he doesn't hear me, he doesn't hear anything, whatever.
Wow. Okay.
We lose the game. And I said, Christian, I said, did you not see the ball? The ball's right there. He said, nah, I didn't see it. And I looked at him and I said, You're that tired. You're that tired that out of it. That you playing a basketball game,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't see the ball, and it was right in front of your face.
Wow.
And it's like, that's how we become. We will mm-hmm. overwork ourselves trying to be the guy. Instead of just asking for a quick sub to come out for a second,
yep.
you know what I mean? So you actually cost the team. So you tried to save the Woo. Team, but you actually cost the team.
Because you was tired. Wow.
And you could have just came out for a second for a quick blow. I could have called a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't have any assistant coaches, so it's like it's hard. Usually when you have assistant coaches, they'll tell you, hey, so-and-so is a little tired right yeah. now. But at this point, I only got six guys. I only got one sub.
That's
you know
it.
What I mean?
You the guy.
You're right. So yeah. it's like I could have got you out, whatever, but mm-hmm. it was like crucial play in the game. Game mm-hmm. on the line. You know what I mean? Seconds left. The ball is right front in your face, and you're so tired you didn't see it.
Yeah. And you got to be honest, right? Like,
yeah.
that's one of the things that I've learned in ministry and in life is be honest with your squad.
Yeah.
Like, be honest with your squad. Like, you know, when we would have those powwows, mm-hmm. when we were serving ministry together.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, we would have those conversations.
Yeah.
How you feeling? I got this on my heart. I got mm-hmm. this on my mind. Before we were going to service,
mm-hmm.
that would give us all opportunity to pray together in the office.
Yeah.
Or talk about it or trying to handle it. And it was so many times I would go in the beginning of service feeling heavy with something. And then by the time we got up there and it's time for service to start, I'm feeling good
because
we prayed.
Yeah.
And that's one of the benefits of being honest with God
mm-hmm.
is that all the stuff that's on your heart, you ain't worried about. And I think you made a great analogy there
mm-hmm.
is that he was so tired, he was blind to what was right in his face.
Yep.
And that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
That sometimes we so tired.
Yeah.
The solution is right there.
The
ball is in your court and you like you can grab it, but you're so tired. That you miss it.
You don't see it.
And that's the bad thing. It's some of us, we miss opportunities because we're tired.
Look, I hope y'all enjoying this.
Man, this is good.
this has been good. Refueling is such a... It has to happen. And everybody's going to get tired. Everybody's going to become a time when you get tired. We're not saying that. We're just saying that when you get tired, make sure that you're being honest. Make sure that you're seeking the right type of fuel. So what do you say as we wrap up this episode? What's your final thought on refueling?
My final thought is make sure you add that to your daily routine or your weekly routine or your monthly routine.
Mm-hmm.
Add that time, just like you would schedule anything else. We schedule dinner.
Mm-hmm.
We'll schedule breakfast. We'll schedule everything else, but we won't schedule any time for us to reconnect with God
mm-hmm.
and reconnect with ourselves. Make sure you keep that. And that's the only way you're going to make it, if you keep that as a regular part of your life.
Mm. Good. I'm going to say final thought is you have to learn what fuel is going to work best for you.
Yes.
You know, learn what fuel work best for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, we all can recharge in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Sometimes my wife gives me a recharge, you know what I mean? That yeah. I need. And it's like, you know, everything and just like, I was like, wow, that was just what I needed. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I just needed you. Wow.
Yes.
I just needed you. That was it.
Yeah,
everything's all better now.
That's it.
You know, there's other times when, you know, where, you know, it's been a long time. You know what I mean? It's been quiet time. So I think that go on a self-discovery journey to figure out what fuels you best. What fuels you best, because it could be a combination of both. It could be, you know, one or the other, whatever. But you have to have that refueling if you're going to, you know, keep on going and stay on that trajectory. You know, stay with that fire, stay with that grind, stay with that. You know what I mean? You got to have the right fuel. So, you know, it might be a little combination, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and a little bit of this, you know, whatever. Whatever it is, though, go on a self-discovery to find out what fuels you, what gets you going, what helps you to be in a good place, not only, you know, mentally, but physically, emotionally, you know what I mean? Like, oh, what do you need? What does it take? Because, you know, we'll find out, you know, what it takes to become a doctor, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We'll go to school and we'll, you know, take all the classes. We'll find out, you know, what it takes to be a lawyer, and we'll do all the steps, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we oftentimes neglect to say, what does it take for me to keep being me?
That's it.
You know, what does it take for me to stay on the level that I need? So go on that self-discovery and figure out what is it that refuse you. So thanks, guys. Thanks for listening today. Remember, you can follow me on Instagram at Mr. Hearn. Also on TikTok, I'm at Mr. Hearn. And
you can follow me at D_Allen_blessed on Instagram.
So I said this last week, and I'm going to go check. I need some new likes, people. Some new likes, some new comments. It's been plenty of episodes. I see the numbers. I see you guys are listening. But please like, share, and leave a new comment. Thank you, guys. We love you, and we'll be back next week.
Love you.